Fire Engineering Podcasts are sponsored by MSA. Firefighters want to be connected to each other, to dispatch, and to their commanders. MSA has created Lunar, a wireless, handheld device that includes thermal imaging, firefighter ranging, motion alarm, and cloud technology with GPS. It's part of the new connected firefighter platform from MSA. Learn more at msafire.com.
Good afternoon. Bill Gustin here with Miami-Dade Fire Rescue Department Training Division Special Projects with Daryl Higgins, Dan Shaw, Chief Jan Shaw, and our good brother, Captain Sam Hibble. And we represent different regions of the country. I'm from Southeast Florida, originally from Chicago. Daryl's from Oakland, California, out on the West Coast. Dan is in the Washington Beltway. And Sam is in America's heartland. And we're all glad to have you. Our topic today is going to be the role and the mindset of the second engine. In other words, the role of the second engine and the mindset of the officer of the second engine company. Before that, I want to give out some shout outs. This is November 11th. This is Veterans Day. A lot of us have the day off because of, in memory of the people that have made this country safe and kept our democracy and our freedoms and have made such tremendous sacrifices for us. And for me, I never spent any time in the service. I know my dad was a World War II veteran, but everyone today, thank a vet. It is why we enjoy the freedoms that we have and all the confusion that's going on right now in this country. It's a mess, but at least it's our mess. It's our mess. We're allowed to make that mess. And because we still live in a democracy, thanks to our veterans. I want to give a shout out to our partner here that is not here today. My partner is Mike Dugan, FDNY, retired ladder 123. Mike is participating in a neighborhood Veterans Day ceremony. I think they're placing some bricks at a memorial with veterans' names on it. And he told me he wouldn't be here. I said, that's where you need to be, Captain Mike. So a big big shout out to him. I also want to thank, I've been doing some research on my job, and I reach out to guys that I think are consummate subject matter experts when it comes to nozzles or hose or whatever I happened to be looking into at the time. This happened to be hose. So I reached out to my friends at Key. That's keyfire.com. Longtime friends, Mark Lighthill, who used to be a assistant chief with Brevard County, Florida, what they call the Florida State Coast, and Dave Hibben from 10 Engine in DC. And Dan Shaw, I think that's probably as busy as you get, isn't it?
They're up there. They carry that mantle for many years.
Yeah. So Dave paid his dues. And but those two guys, what gentlemen. And they're not out to sell you hose. They're brother firefighters that didn't forget where they came from. So I want to give a shout out to my buddies at Key. They're great guys and they're good firefighters. Then I'm going to give a shout out. I just had a wonderful experience this weekend, yesterday and today. I was asked to teach a Florida specific class to the fire departments on what we call our Space Coast, Brevard County, Cape Canaveral, Melbourne, and that area. And what I like to do with my classes is get up a day or two early and make an assessment and ride around with an officer, take pictures, integrate the pictures into my presentation to make it specific to their needs. And so we had the last 2 days, we had firefighters from Palm Bay, Brevard County, Melbourne, Satellite Beach, and Cape Canaveral. And I got great respect for them. The wind coming in off the Atlantic Ocean and off the Banana and what's the other river? The Indian River is awesome. There is no way that they are going to be able to fight a fire in any kind of structure with a frontal attack with that if the fire is on the windward side. So I take my hat off to you guys. And it's not just the wind and structure fires. They have a huge wildland interface fire. And, you know, here I'm coming from a real big fire department. These are smaller departments. But, man, they do their share of work, and I take my hat off to these guys, both for structural firefighting and wildland interface. So big shout-out to those guys. Darryl, a little bit about yourself, and then we'll move on to Dan.
Well, thank you. Darryl Liggins. I think you guys that watch the program know me. I'm a captain in Oakland, California. This is my 28th year in the fire service, which is hard to believe. And I still love this job as much as the day I started. I'm still always trying to learn. And for those listening, as far as always trying to learn, this man right here, Bill Gustin, had nothing but questions to the panelists prior to starting this program. And he does have the most gray hair. I think I have less hair than you, although you have more gray hair.
I was using just for that.
And for somebody that surrounds their life and their passion is this occupation and being in a very busy urban area, it goes to show that there's always more for us to learn. How many years you have now in this profession?
47 years. And Darryl, don't be humble. I did have a question, and I had a question for my brother. Sam wasn't on yet, but I had a question for my brother, Darryl, and Dan. I've got an inquiry from a brother in a northeastern city about how long it takes to fill a dry standpipe and get water and adequate pressure to a remote top floor outlet, a roof outlet. How long is it going to take to completely fill this thing, and what are the techniques to be used? No experience. Okay, so what do I do? This is why networking, for those of you that are watching, this is what we're doing right now, guys. You viewers that are watching us right now, this is what we do on and offline. We network with our buddies. Nobody can know everything, but I know somebody that does know, and all I got to do is pick up a phone or send them an email, and that is what's so wonderful. I love this. So, Darryl, you're a humble guy, but you did give me some great, great advice. And I think we ought to address this topic of dry standpipes and manual wet standpipes. It could be a topic all of itself. Dan, two questions for you. since we last talked, how many apartment complexes have you burnt down in Fairfax County? And how many more bugles have you added to your bag? Damn. Those are my two questions.
None to both. Okay. And thanks for asking. I appreciate your concern.
Yes. Oh, I'm concerned. Damn.
Hey, someone has to do it. Hey, no, thanks, Bill. Always a pleasure to be here. Dan Shaw. I'm a deputy chief with Fairfax County Fire and Rescue Department, and also have the privilege of working with a great collective group of firefighters and fire officers at Traditions Training, one being that little fellow down at the bottom. Having great collective conversation, much like what we're doing right here. And I was also fortunate enough to write 25 to Survive with my brother from another mother, Doug Mitchell, and really looking forward to a great conversation as always.
And Dan, you surround yourself with the likes of Larry Schultz and Ricky Riley. We stand on the shoulders of giants.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Mr. Sam, Captain Sam, how are we, brother?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Okay. Are you on duty, Sam?
No. I came off shift this morning.
Okay. I like the hat, Sam. Like the hat. Sam, did you get yourself back on a ladder company? Or are you on a rescue now?
No, I'm fortunate to be a captain on the rescue. Also fortunate to be an instructor with the Real Combat Ready group, Traditions Training.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I don't know how much I'm going to be able to offer to this engine stuff, but
I'm just looking forward to see you break out in hives.
Okay. We shouldn't even have this conversation, but I'm going to bring it up because it's like passing the gas in church. You know you did it, but nobody's too polite to talk about it. And that is, hurry, because Engine 7 is going to beat us into the scene. In other words, who's going to be first in? Who's going to get the first water? Whether you are career or volunteer, we call ourselves professional. There is no place in today's professional fire service for anybody to be in a race or a contest to see who is first due. I always liked being second due because there's many times that first due company with incomplete information spots in the wrong position. Whereas if I stage, keep myself available, then I benefit if there's a mistake made by the first arriving company. I also, you have an entirely different mindset as the officer of the second due engine. And on my way of operating, and I think it's Dan, we've had this discussion offline. It is, I'm thinking first and foremost, does the first due engine have an adequate water supply? So I'm on the mobile computer unit looking for hydrant locations, hearing which way direction that the company did come in terms of them laying a line in or out. Chicago, for instance, when that first arriving company makes an arrival, it doesn't matter what they're on. They will say we're northbound, we're westbound because they're a reverse laying fire department. So there's a consideration what the other engine's going to do. Some of the departments like Chicago, the second engine will back down and then reverse out from the fire scene. So opposite the direction of the first engine. But I find it a fascinating discipline of the mindset and the duties of the second engine. And I've got some questions for you guys, but that's pretty much the way that Miami-Dade operates, unless it is just absolutely a pallet storage yard or a lumber yard. We're going to either forward lay a large diameter hose in. Now, you know, we use a full way valve. And if it's a smaller residence, we will rely on that second engine to lay us a line. Is there a throw of the dice with that? Sure there is. Sure there is. And when I was first due, I want to know, is Engine 7 on the assignment? Where are they responding from? And are they clear of the railroad tracks? And if they're not, that would influence my decision to stop and lay our own line. Now, I don't completely agree with the findings, the recent findings from UL that state, do not delay water application on the fire to establish a water supply. Residential fires, yes. The discount auto parts at 4 o'clock in the morning, pushing smoke, black smoke, or the apartment complex, well involved, that's under construction, you better get yourself a water supply. Any comments, your thoughts? How do you operate as a second engine in Oakland, Daryl?
Well, you mentioned discipline, and I think that is the most important part. I mean, we're all firefighters, and anybody taking the time to listen to this, you know, podcast or they want to be on the nozzle. They want to be the point of the spear, as Ray McCormick calls it. They want to be in the fire, and that's where I want to be. That's why I choose to be on the company I'm on, is I want to go to fires. But with that comes discipline. And you have to recognize that at times you're not going to be there. Most people on the fire ground are going to be supporting that nozzle position. And some of those are going to be outside. Some of those are going to be at the hydrant or removing kinks in those unglorious positions. So as a company officer, anybody in Oakland that has worked with me, that I have, if you're new and I haven't worked with you before, I set the tone right at roll call. I tell them what I expect if we're first due, second due, third due, or if we're the RIT company. And I just want to get it out there so there's you know, no confusion there. It's very simple. If we're second due, we're doing everything, and I'll take Dennis Laguerre's Facebook page name from hydrant to nozzle. We are supporting that first due engine company from the hydrant to the nozzle. I can't have somebody that's just aggressive and wanting to get a piece of the action and going and stretching a second line. One of the most failed, you know, efforts I saw was a second due company going and pulling their own line and not assisting the first engine. And it was just this snowball effect of problems, because the jobs still have to get done. The jobs have to get done, but now it's getting done by other people who have other responsibilities. So if you're second due, be the best second due you can. Don't crowd the nozzle. Take the kinks out of the line. Help feed in hose. Conserve your air. You may go on air later once it's time to go in there. Make sure they have a water supply. Make sure the first due engineer or pump operator, whatever you call it, is taken care of. And for us, it's a little, well, maybe not unique, maybe a little more unique for a larger city. Our second due officer will often take command until arrival of the battalion chief, because our battalion chiefs have a longer response time. So that's something else we may have to take off the hands of that first due engine. But yeah, bottom line is we are helping as best we can. And the other thing we have to do is tactically, we may not have the first due engine doing what we may think should have been done. Or maybe you would have pulled the 2.5 and they pulled an inch and three quarter. Maybe you pulled an inch, they pulled an inch and three quarter, and you know, you would have gave it a dash with a deck gun first. But whatever they choose to do, we have to support that. We can't be being at odds with what their decision was. So basically, in a nutshell, that's what we're doing, is supporting the first due engine.
Dan, we've had a discussion offline on this. I know you have some pretty strong feelings about that, the role of the second engine and also the use of the booster tank for an initial attack.
Yeah, and so I'll go back to that. I think Bill Carey always shares it. I mean, you do you, right? I mean, you do what works for your organization. For us, us going off a booster tank doesn't happen. This is not something we have been indoctrinated to. Our experience kind of guides us towards. Typically for us, it's the first dude it lays out, the second dude picks up the water, the third gets the secondary water, fourth picks up that water. So we always typically have two water supplies, and we're always able to surround a building with the Alpha and Charlie, or geographically how it's set up. But again, it's because that works for us. And because of geographically where we are, with our staffing, the amount of people, we get there pretty swiftly that we go to that. And I think to your point is, you know, when I first came into the department 25 years ago, I mean, a little more cowboy antics that we saw, like racing to get there, that has been gone for eons. And I think that's been gone, and you can eliminate that because, to your point, it's a lack of operational discipline, but also it's because we don't explain the why. And when we educate our members and get them to understand why it's so important you take this role and get them to change mentality, is that your arrivals and getting there is not about you. We're there for them. And so for us to have the best outcome for them, if you were going to change your run order, and we have a very strict operational doctrine when it comes to that, is that if you want to add on to a call, you're changing the run order. You know, that battalion chief, that first arriving battalion chief, is the one who orchestrates all that, because ultimately he's responsible for all of it. And so he's the one that has the final say on, hey, if I arrive here and I'm clearly in front of that other engine, then I'll lay out and we'll be able to get water on fire. But, you know, and some of it comes down to the way you operate. Like, I know when I came to Fairfax in 95, it was often different, right? I mean, like, the driver never laid out. We had a layout man where I came out before there. But our driver lays out because he's dressed like we are right now. He doesn't have turnout gear on. It's not cumbersome. And typically where our hydrants are located, that last couple seconds when the driver hops out, wraps a hydrant, and gets back in, the officer is able to see the structure, start to develop what he wants to say on his own scene report, and before he leaves that cone of silence, give some last orders to the guys or girls in the back to say, hey, it looks like we got fire number two floor, whatever the case may be. So for us, and again, we have some experience where an engine decided not to lay out and went for the rescue, and it didn't add favorably. Because, you know, we look back and I go back to it when we say we explain the why, we put it into our operational doctrine. And manuals don't solve all the problems. All they really are legacy documents to say, this is what we've learned. This is the way we're going to operate. Here's our blueprint for success. So for us, you know, knowing the facts, right? Every 64 seconds in the United States, we go to residential building fires. The vast majority of the line of duty deaths and close calls we see occur in a residential. Combat that, the best to bring to a fire is to put water on that fire. So how do we best ensure that we have that continuous water supply? Again, it's because it works for us. But that's not to say every single one of our books is the same. You know, for the single family dwellings and townhouses, we typically operate this way. First lays out, second picks up the water. High rise is a little bit different. Our strip shopping centers, still similar, but the second engine has an ultimate responsibility to make sure that they can supply the FDC if it's present. So we try to take all that and feed it into what the second do engine, but their primary responsibility in our county is that you are going to ensure that continuous water supply for that first do engine. And if that means, hey, look, they missed it. Because I was a driver for many years. And when I hear people on the radio say, hey, we're going to hand jack to this hydrant, that typically means one of two things. You can't read a map book or you hate your driver. Because trying to hand jack 4-inch line anywhere up a street to a hydrant is always difficult. But sometimes that second new engine has to pick it up. So to Daryl's point, we're very similar, is that your job is to make sure we're supporting what that first new engine officer has made as his tactical decision. We're operating in offensive mode. We're stretching a hose line. So they get that taken care of.
So you have an engine. The first engine lays in like a wagon. Mm-hmm. Second engine, like Washington, D.C. used to have two-piece engine company. LA. So, and I just want to make sure I understand correctly. Your second do engine, the line is already laid. It's wrapped around the hydrant. Mm-hmm. It's left at the hydrant. Will connect directly with a direct suction to the hydrant?
No. So, we don't use a Humat or four-way valve. That is just the only thing that's in the layout pack is the LDHOs, a hydrant wrench, and so whatever they wrap around it. So, when that driver gets there in a second do engine, throws that off, makes a quick connection off either his side intake or his front intake, and then he hooks up to his discharge and water is sent. Now, what happens in most, you know, I'm sure it's true for all you guys. Dan,
that's at the hydrant. You're the second Duke company.
Uh-huh. That's at the hydrant.
So the second Duke company does connect to the hydrant and pump the line that was laid to the first Duke.
Correct.
Okay. I know what the answer is going to be because I like that system. Let me ask you something. We're going to say engine one and engine two. Engine one's first in, lays in a line, and is operating on the fire. Engine two connects the supply line from engine one, connects to the hydrant directly, taking full advantage of the available water of the hydrant, not depending upon hydrant residual pressure because you can boost it with the pump. Mm-hmm. Now, Dan, engine one takes a dump. Engine one takes a dump. Is it a big problem?
No. I mean, because of our close proximity where our hydrants are.
Well, what can engine two do?
They can be the attack engine.
Absolutely. Yeah. Engine one becomes a big manifold if your intake relief valves are not too set too low.
No, and a lot of times, Bill, what happens is that first engine lays out, second supplies them. They're operating off their booster tank for a while. I mean, because we have 175, 185 GPM nozzles. You know, the vast majority of time, we're not going to be flowing water for, I mean, it's going to take a minute or two for them to make the stretch to get to the room. They open the nozzle and they start putting water on fire. So a lot of it is all safeguards that if something to your point, line one takes a dump, someone, they pull the second line, they pull a 2.5. Now we're trying to flow 400 or 500 gallons per minute off a 750 tank. And we wonder why we run out of water. We have the safeguards. But to your point, like if we lose that water supply, one, that second new engine becoming the attack engine, just because typically the close proximity of our hydrants, we're close enough they can make the stretch. Our personnel know how to stretch long lines. And when we mandate two water supplies in every single fire we go to, that third and fourth are going to get a secondary water supply. They might be coming on side Charlie, might be coming in a different part of the block, because it's the other thing we really want to preach is those late arriving companies should not take the same exact response route as the first and second. And so you're listening like, hey, first engine one laid out from here. Mm-hmm. Engine two picked it up. Engine three, hey, we're going to go around a block and come in this way and hit this other clock.
And that's why Chicago announces their direction. We had some input from one of our viewers about hand laying line. Brother, I agree with you. When we're going into an area, for instance, heavy industrial, where I'm pretty confident we got a hydrant every 300 feet. Get a hydrant every 300 feet, man. You know, it's going to be a piece of cake. Your driver engineer, as Dan says, our drivers are going to be dressed in their station uniform, which makes them a lot more agile. Laying 200 feet of 5-inch or 200 plus feet of 4-inch or 3-inch shouldn't be a problem if the guy's in shape. And how Chicago takes advantage of that is that they got a hydrant every 300 feet. You're never going to be more than 150 feet away. So they accordion load. I could be wrong on this. And if somebody from the Chicago area is watching, please correct me. I'll stand corrected. But the last time I checked, they accordion load 150 feet of large diameter supply on their front bumper so that they're not stretching from the back of the rig around to the front if the hydrant happens to be closer than the front. So, Sam, any thoughts on second engine?
Yeah, we actually operate a lot like Oakland does. I think you can do a lot with the second engine, particularly if you have some resource issues or delays in engines coming together, kind of like we do. So, you know, we fight off the tank. We know that there's a known life hazard at every fire, and that's us. So we put water inside at the very least for confinement to protect the search as a minimum. And I know a lot of my friends, particularly on the East Coast, would disagree with that. But, you know, like Chief Shaw said, that's how we do it. That's us. So the second due engine, we typically reverse off of about everything. We reverse off and then we'll announce to the truck if there's any problems for them to come in as far as direction. If we have a commercial or high rise or anything like that, what that does is that ultimately, or apartment, I'm sorry, not high rise, but that allows us to actually get a pumper hook up there. We have a engine down there. It also allows us when we pull up in front of the fire building, we can drop off the firefighters in the back. They can be assigned to stretch exposure lines, get a second line ready to go in when we get some more resources, or they can assist that first line. So we have some options to make sure that the first line gets in place and that we don't get out of control. Then the officer will hop off and they become the initial incident commander. And when the battalion chief gets there, they take command. Then typically that officer can marry up with their firefighter and put a second line in service or continue to help ensure that the first line gets put in service.
Sam, you're a reverse laying fire department then, correct?
For the most part, yes.
Okay, so you're using some kind of skid load like reverse horseshoes, something like that? I'm sorry, say it again?
Yeah, we pretty much pull everything off the back, static loads off.
Do you have any kind of skid load or something like you can pull off like a reverse horseshoe of 150 feet of 2.5 or something like that where you can just drop it right at the on the street?
What we'll do is we pull up to the back and they will actually throw it under the, well, they'll pull up next to the engine and they'll throw it underneath the front or back tire.
And you're talking about the second do will do this?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then the second do will connect directly to the hydrant.
On residential, we typically go straight to the hydrant, but commercial apartments
will connect
for pumper hookup.
Okay. All right. And, something else I wanted to ask you. Have you ever, has the second do ever dumped their tank, quickly given it to the first do, or dumped it on the fire while they're getting ready to lay out to the hydrant?
That's not something we do. If we have hydrant issues, then we'll give them tank water. We'll 500, 600 gallons off of that engine. We have a splitway or something like that, something that's going to be delayed, then we feed them off the tank. But again, those are things that have to be announced on the radio because now we're asking guys to not be overly aggressive with the lines. They're going to know that they could have interrupted water.
Yeah. Hey, it's our halfway mark. I want to remind everybody this is a special Veterans Day edition of our hangout. And for all you veterans out there, thank God for you. And that's why it'd be thanks to you and all the veterans that preceded you, because that's why we're in this wonderful country and we're blessed to be able to have a discussion like this and voice our opinions. And we wouldn't be able to do it without our veterans. I also want to give a shout out to the training staff at Miami-Dade Fire Rescue Department. We bring each other up, fellas. We bring each other up. And my buddies, Ricky Stevens, Miguel Peralta, Juan, Miguel, and Pete Williams, bring me up. And we all have our strengths. And for instance, Ricky is an excellent firefighter. He just participated in the over 40 or over 50 category at the Combat Challenge in Irving, Texas. Ernie, I want to give a shout out to that. Also, I sent that video that he shot of the winner of this thing, a guy from Austin, Texas. Reminds me of you, Sam. A guy that's in incredible shape. So what they have there, guys, is they have the open category, and then they got above 40, above 50, and I think above 60. But that was amazing. But Peter, if you're watching, I sent that to Bill Carey. It is amazing what this guy can do in this combat challenge. So I wanted to give a shout out to them. Again, I want to give a shout out to Kehoes. That's the hose that we use on Miami-Dade. And if you are fortunate enough to have Key, it's not like you develop a long-term relationship with these folks. And as problems and questions arise, they don't forget about you. It's not just one sale and that's over. They want to develop a long-lasting relationship with you. And there are a lot of good fire hose companies. It's just that my department is blessed to have purchased Key Hose, and no regrets. So a big shout out to Key. Again, a shout out to my buddies in the Palm Bay, Brevard County, Melbourne, Satellite Beach, and Cape Canaveral. You folks have your heart and your head in the job. Let me bring up an issue that my dad used to remember, dyed-in-the-wool Chicago guy. Remember, a lot of the years that he was working, there was no booster tanks on apparatus. So they had to lead out, reverse lay. And it had to do with the second hose line. And he would say, Bill, what good is the second hose line or a backup line if it's coming off the same apparatus as the first line and that apparatus breaks down? Hard to argue with that logic. How would you answer that, Daryl?
Well, I think that's a perfect concern, and it's something we don't think about enough because modern fire apparatus aren't often, you know, failing at the scene of incidents. But you have to have a way to, you know, to back this up. Our neighbors here in San Francisco, they do just what Chicago do. That second engine backs down the block, lays out to the hydrant, hooks up that second two engine, and then they pump to the first two pumpers. So you have two pumping apparatus if you reverse out that second engine. Sam is painting the same picture of what they do there in Wichita. In Oakland, we forward lay. It's not my favorite lay, but we forward lay most of the time, but we do use a HUMAT valve. And so we can have an engine company at the HUMAT if there were some incident, at least there's a pumper that can ready to be put in pump and, you know, take over. We don't want to have all our eggs in one basket where
Daryl, just have a line viewers, connected to the hydrant. The UMAT is a four-way valve. UMAT just happens to be one brand. Hydra Assist is another. Yeah. Oasis is another one from TFT. For those of us that might not be familiar that are viewing this, could you explain what the principle is behind the four-way valve?
Yeah, and we've had all different brands and sizes and all that. You're right, that is just one of them. For it's it's for fire departments that do forward lay as their primary way. So when the water comes out of the hydrant, goes through the valve, it's redirected down through the hose line to the pumping apparatus. There's some friction loss there. So you are hooking up some friction loss, but they're pretty good at that. But there's two other fittings on there, a female inlet and a male outlet. So when another company, and it could be usually for us, it's like a second alarm company, they hook up to it. So then they take a line from the unused male outlet on the four-way and put it into their intake. And then they hook a line from a discharge from their rig into the female intake of the four-way. And then you flip a handle that redirects the water from going directly from the hydrant to the hose line to the engine, where it goes to the engine that's hooked up to the four-way through their pump, increases in pressure out of their discharge, and then through the four-way back to the first engine. So it's a way to have uninterrupted water supply and have the ability to increase pressure. But the side benefit is it's not just to increase pressure, it's also to add some redundancy in the system if there was a problem with the engine at the scene. Now, the beauty of reversing out a second engine over pumping in a four-way is, one, like Sam said, you're dropping your crew off. They're immediately able to help at the scene. You're bringing them to the front door, they're jumping off, they're helping with a second line, assisting with the first line. And it only takes one member now to reverse lay out to the hydrant, and you're hooking, rather than hooking that hose directly to the hydrant, you're hooking it to your discharge and then your front suction or a jumper line to the hydrant. Darryl, so you've added redundancy.
Backing down to the first?
It would be the same as backing down. Now, to pull up to the first engine, it's just going to require a wider street. But if you're dealing with an alleyway or a narrower street, you're going to have to back down.
One of the beauties of backing down is identify the hydrant that you're going to take suction from and spin that cap off and make sure it's good. You've already identified your hydrant and you know that it's good. Back down, you have to be careful with backing down, of course. And two backers, they have to stay in the engineer's mirror at all time. And if the engineer is backing and at any time that he loses view of both of his backers, stop the rig. Stop it, yes. Stop the rig so you don't run over your people. Then, do your engines have pre-connected front suctions?
We do not have front suctions, and that is primarily because we're not an agency that ever embraced a reverse lay. So we have jumpers on each side of the rig, and we usually use that.
Okay, with some type of intake relief valve, so you can start off your tank without, and then switch over to supply.
Yes. Okay.
Dan, any comments on that? Actually, the HUMAT originated in your
Baltimore County
area, correct, Dan?
Yeah, so I'm born, raised, and live in Baltimore, and that was two guys from Baltimore. Bob Hughes, who was an engineer, and Hurley Matthews, who worked in Baltimore County.
Now, Dan, every four-way valve has a direct shot. In other words, right from the hydrant steamer to the supply line. Now, the four ways that my department uses, when we are not supplementing the pressure, it's a straight shot through. Straight shot from the steamer, right straight on to the supply line. Now, when we switch over and allow water to go into the suction, we pump the other line and that opens up a clapper. And once we do that, that's a right angle. Now, does that have a lot of friction loss? Of course it does, but we're there to overcome that friction loss. My question to you was the intent of the UMAT, because if you operate the UMAT without pumping through it, you've got a right angle. It comes down, correct? And then goes Was it the intention of you, Matt, to most of the time pump it?
I'll be honest with you, Bill. Like, you know, when I started in Howard County, which is a suburb of Baltimore, and we used them there, but we haven't used them in years. And really what I thought was a great benefit of that is that when you finished up at the fire, is the second new engine, you weren't stuck on the plug. You could just hit that valve up, disconnect, and go home.